This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network fans, it is the biggest week of the year, and it's kind of all screwed up for us in the podcast world. Welcome, everyone, to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your tri-host, Scott Criscolo. Yes, it is WrestleMania week, and usually we get very excited. Last year, we did a live show through Podbean, and we had some great guests and had a lot of fun. Through what last year was kind of a mess. This year, things are not exactly a mess. They're a little bit of a mess, but not as messy as a year ago. However, the way things are scheduled, you're wondering why this episode dropped on Wednesday and not on Friday. Well, we'll talk about that tonight. But we've got a lot to get into. It is a busy week. We've got WWE. They have some show this weekend. I forgot what it is. I think it's maybe it's In Your House Mind Games, I think. I don't know. And we also have the show everyone is looking forward to, Joey Janela's Jungle Penis Show or whatever the fuck whatever the hell his show is. Now, anyway, it is WrestleMania weekend. Lots of things going on down in Tampa and elsewhere. But let me bring in the rest of the crew and we can jump right in. This gentleman is the purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon and for one of the four times during the year, the Kings of Sport Patreon and the PTB Wrestling Network work together in harmony, side by side on my piano, keyboard. Oh, Lord, why don't we? The Godfather, Nate Milton.
You know, Scott, there's a reason, and I don't think the keyboard theorists out there have ever pieced this together. So allow me to piece the strings on the board and give you this theory here, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The week that we just came off of, for a lot of people, was Holy Week.
Yes, it was. For me as well.
The week that we're in right now, some would say might be the opposite of Holy Week. Coincidence? I think not. Vince McMahon is still mad that God never came back for that second main event match.
That's right, yeah. Hulk Hogan and the Mighty God do not do rematches, so they don't have time for this bullshit.
I thought working with Lesnar was tough.
Yeah, this guy doesn't even show up. He kind of shows up, and then he doesn't show up at all. Oh, geez. Brother Nate, it is always a pleasure. And as I'm alluding to, the Kings of Sport Patreon and the PTB Wrestling Network will work together this week, this weekend, and we'll talk about that later. It is episode 170, and let me bring in the conscience of Place to Be Nation, complete with all of his brand new fancy pants equipment, but he's still sitting on the floor under the dining room table, Mr. Steve Willey.
Well, I am sitting on the floor in a room. That is true.
I
have fancy new equipment, but I am sitting on a floor on a carpet. And we've been doing the Ebony and Ivory version of PTBN and Kings of Sport coming together far, far longer than the WWE's version of Ebony and Ivory of Hulk Hogan and Titus O'Neil.
That is true. That is true. That is absolutely true. You are very right. Oh, wow. 170, guys, our episode this week. Of course, we did take an extra week off because we usually try to juggle the schedule. So we do our show the week of WrestleMania, but we will be back next week. So we will do back-to-back weeks to get back on schedule. Of course, we will recap WrestleMania next week and talk about looking ahead to, I guess, the second season. Maybe, I know we talked to him, maybe we'll get our man Brandon Thurston back on next week to talk about what his Mania experience was and what he heard and he scuttled up on the things happening heretofore. Speaking of, I'm trying to think of some 70s. Giant fans know Leonard Marshall, one of the greatest linemen in team history. He was number 70. Trying to think. Holtby, the goalie for the – was he 70? No, maybe he was 60, the goalie for the Caps. No, maybe he was 60. There's got to be some other linemen out there. Sam Huff, they're another Giant lineman. we'll get some more when we get further up in the 70s. We'll come up with some better guys. But anyway, gentlemen, it's a busy week. Tonight, as we're recording on Tuesday, the Hall of Fame was going down. We usually talk about the Hall of Fame on Main Event. Why don't we do a quickie here and see who was being inducted? I know we did lose the Animal Batista. He had to bow out because when they were, because this is, I know for a fact that the show tonight was taped. I know that for a fact through my insider sources. So it was on Peacock, and they did put in the inductions. They did put in both 2020 and 2021. They did them back to back because obviously the 2020 class didn't have one last year. Batista was supposed to be in the 2020 class, but he could not make it to when they taped the ceremony, so they held him off, and he will be on a future Hall of Fame class. So here was the class that was supposed to go in last year. JBL, the British Bulldog, Davey Boy Smith, Jushin Thunder Liger, the NWO, Hogan, Nash, and Hall, and Six. So Hogan is now in twice. Nash is now in twice. Hall is now in twice. And Six is now in twice. No, Six is not in on his own. He was also in. He might be the only guy that's in the Hall of Fame under two different names. I think that's the best part. And the Bella Twins, they are in. Oh, William Shatner and Titus O'Neil won the Warrior Award. So, and then the Legacy Award, I didn't even realize this year. Look at the Legacy Award, guys. Let me tell you something. The Legacy Award guys are better than the fucking regular guys. Ray Stevens, the Crippler, okay? Brickhouse Brown, Dr. Death Steve Williams, who should be in a regular class, not in the fucking Legacy class. Baron Michele Leone, and one of my favorite managers of all time, Gary Hart. That's last year's Legacy class. Guys, the Legacy class is better than the fucking regular class. What do you think, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't aware of the Legacy class. Gary Hart, if you want a really fun look into that time period of wrestling, his autobiography, which you have to do some digging to find it, is really, really fun.
Oh, okay. Interesting. What do you think of that, Nate? I mean, the Legacy class is kind of badass, actually. I mean, yeah, I would put Ray Stevens and Dr. Death on a tag team.
It's a great class. It's a little confusing, though, because I know, like, there's a reason why, you know, we're all baseball fans. There's a reason why there's, like, the old-timers committee in the Baseball Hall of Fame. But for the WWE, it's like, why are we delineating? Like, just make them a part of the regular class.
Exactly.
I think for a while there, Scotty, they were doing the thing where every year they'd have a tag team, they'd have a diva, they'd have an old-timer, and they'd have, like, an Attitude Era guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's no, I feel like, yes, it's great that all of these dudes got in because it's well deserved and long overdue. But, like, there's no reason Gary Hart couldn't just be a regular Hall of Famer or Dr. Death just couldn't be a regular Hall of Famer.
I agree 100%. Usually the classes were a big headliner, like a Hogan, a Brett, you know, a Stone Cold. Usually a secondary guy, like a Steamboat or somebody like that. A tag team, Road Warriors, you know, that kind of thing. An other, like a manager, a ref, Howard Finkel, or, you know, a ring announcer or a regular announcer, like a play-by-play guy, like a Lance Russell or a Gordon Soley. Somebody who died, like a Rude or a Perfect mm-hmm. or somebody like that. And then, like, usually a diva, a woman, woman's wrestler, or a woman in general. But, yeah, now they're kind of mishmashing it. So that was the 2020 class that was supposed to go in last year. This year's class is Molly Holly, Eric Bischoff, which I think is fucking hilarious, Kane, who deserves it, the Great Khali, who doesn't deserve it, but I think they're trying to appease the WWF India crew because they spend a lot of money, RVD, Rob Van Dam, the celebrity is Ozzy, who of course was at WrestleMania 2 watching his beloved British Bulldogs beat the Dream Team in Chicago, one of my favorite matches ever. And the Warrior Award went to Rich Herring, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Risk Management. More than 50 years for working in WWE, he helped expand the company from a regional to a worldwide. I don't even know who the hell this guy is. All right. Why'd they just give it to Toots Mont? I mean, really, what the hell is this guy? you know? But anyway, he got
it. I like that pick when I read about it because it was kind of the point of the Warrior Award to begin with.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to pin on, Steve. Like, because the original incarnation, as told by Warrior to Dana Warrior, was something to honor people within the WWE that meant something to the history of the company. But it kind of morphed into this humanitarian, like the Walter Payton Award, almost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like I like the pick of Ray if we're going with the actual intent of the award, but if we're going with what they've made the award, I think it would have been nice for them to honor Shad.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I agree too. Now, I'd like to see eventually one guy that I actually know and have met that I would love to see get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Matt Rotella's cousin, who I always refer to, has worked in WWE's furloughed now, but he'll be. When they're back doing show, you know, crowds and live shows, he'll be back. Rotella told me that he was not one of the fired furloughs; he was the actual furlough. So he lives in Tampa and he's still doing stuff. But his cousin John has been with the company since 1989. First, I think he was hired in late March. So literally, the first event. Imagine your first day at work being WrestleMania 5. I mean, think about that. That's like crazy, right?
So, every day at work is WrestleMania 5 for me.
That is true. No, every day at work for you is ECW Anarchy Rules. So he's with the company 32 years. So 40, wait, hold on. Yeah, 32 years. So I'd like to see eventually Rotella's cousin get the Warrior Award. That'd be very cool. He used to put the ring up. Then he was in charge of like the on-site crew, like for the ring and the announce tables and all that kind of stuff. And now he does like the national international bookings of venues and cities and stuff like that. So I'd like to see Rotella's cousin get that award somewhere down the line.
So on Peacock, is this 1 4-hour block or did they break it up? Like, is it?
No, it's one block.
Is it like the Snyder Cut with chapters that we can follow? is there an epilogue where Vince shows up talking to Jared Leto?
No, this is the actual Peacock thing where there's no chapters. You have to watch the whole thing and you can't stop it ever. my friend who is in my department who does what I do for them told me that this was taped over the weekend. So this is not live. No. Here's my take, guys. Tell me your thoughts on this, and then we'll. I didn't want to belabor this. You know, this. I just wanted to say who the fans were. We'll talk. We'll get into other stuff in a minute, but this is my take. I know they were holding off on Batista, but I think next year WrestleMania is in Big D. It's back in Arlington. They're going to start that show now, so by the time Triple H's main event starts, it'll be a year from now. So just like the last time they were in Arlington. So next year's is in Arlington, and it's already set that WrestleMania 39 is at SoFi, where it was supposed to be this year. It'll be at SoFi, where the Rams and Chargers play. So, true or false, Nate, I'll start with you. Next year's Hall of Fame headliner in Texas will be the Dead Man. And the following year, you know where I'm going with this. When the Hall of Fame is in Hollywood, your boy is the headliner, the great one. What do you think?
It makes sense. You know, it makes sense to do it that way. And like, I think even if you want to throw Batista in, like, I'd hold off on Batista and make him the Ricky Steamboat of that 39 class. Because I think, like, that's a great 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I agree.
In L.A., in Hollywood, like, I think that's something that makes the Hall of Fame. Not to disparage the Hall of Famers that went in this week, but I feel like if you got two A-listers, that's a selling point to more than just wrestling fans in a way that perhaps Molly Holly is not, as much as we love Molly Holly.
Right. I agree. And I think if they do decide, since they're in Texas next year, to put Taker in, Taker should be on a platform all alone. So you do Taker and then do five, like, you know, good Hall of Famers, but nobody ridiculous. And
Texas is a state where, like, you know, you can really dip in and dive back into the history of wrestling because there's so many great Texans, and you can kind of get back to what they used to do, you know, talking about past Hall of Fame, Scotty, where they had a regional tie a lot of times.
Yeah,
and you can really have the Undertaker as your headliner and then really Texas it up.
Yeah, I agree. I would put in Tully Blanchard's in, obviously, because, I mean, maybe if they do a Legends class, maybe put in Gino Hernandez, maybe put in, I don't know, is Bruiser Brody in the Hall of Fame? Do we know that, guys? Is he in the Legends class?
What the look? He's in a Legends class. I can look it up here.
See, now that would suck because Bruiser Brody deserved to be in a real in like the main class. It's Bruiser fucking Brody, for Christ's sakes. Come on. But I agree with you, Nate. We could put in a myriad of good Texas guys next year to kind of coincide with Taker. But you, if you load up the top end of that class at SoFi in 2023 with Rock and Batista. Yeah. I mean, you're gold. I mean, that's gold. What do you think, Steve?
Just going back real quick to Bruiser Brody, he was inducted in 2019's Legacy Wing.
Ah, so he was in 2 years ago. Okay.
And his wife wasn't even invited to the ceremony.
Meanwhile, the guy that killed him died of natural causes. He should have died. Fucking Tony Atlas should have snapped his neck in the fucking shower, but that's just a different story altogether. Yeah, they could put in a myriad of guys for that. So, anyway, that's the class for this year. We won't belabor that. But yeah, my take on it is, I think next year in Dallas or in Arlington, Dallas, the Metroplex, that I think Taker will go in. Mm-hmm. And in 2 years when they're at SoFi, you know what? I agree with you now, Nate. I was just thinking Rock, but I think Rock Batista 1-2 would be awesome.
Yeah.
Would be awesome. I love that idea. They could really with Hollywood and California, hopefully all this bullshit's behind us. Cali will be back in play. We could have some fun that weekend and really jack up the mainstream and get people in.
That takes it from just a wrestling event, Steve, to like now it's a pop culture event.
Yeah.
When you've got the biggest movie star on the planet plus a Guardian of the Galaxy. Like
right. Exactly. Yeah, I think that would be amazing. And then for the 40th, something tells me for the 40th, even though they were there for 35, I think the 40th will probably be at MetLife. Although I wouldn't mind seeing it back at the Garden. I think there needs to be a Mania at the Garden, but I don't think you're ever going to see that again, which really blows. Something tells me WrestleMania 40 in 2024 will either be in, I'm predicting now, will either be at MetLife, or it'll be in New Orleans. They'll go back to the Superdome because they love going there. They love going there. And I will go that year because I've never been to New Orleans. And trust me, I've heard all the stories from 3 years ago? 3 years ago. So, all right. Let's talk quickly before we dive into the stuff at hand.
We'll keep you safe.
Quick take of the past weekend. What's that?
I said we'll keep you safe from all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Steve, yeah, there was... There was your version of that weekend, and then there was everybody else's version of that weekend. Yes. I know, there's two sides to everything. There's like so what you're telling me, there's the Steve Willie theatrical cut of Mania Weekend New Orleans, and then there's the everybody else Snyder cut of WrestleMania Weekend.
A lot of slow motion.
A lot of fever dreams.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of fever dreams.
Just hot dogs falling in slow motion.
Exactly. A lot of 3 a.m. drinks with lights blinking off them and shaped like alligator heads. And yeah, nah, but that's my prediction. I think WrestleMania 40 will either be back at MetLife because it ends in a 0 or a 5 or New Orleans or the Superdome. That's my pick for 4 years from now. So
New York makes a lot of sense for 40.
Yeah, I think so. And I really do wish. I'm an old school WWF guy. I've grown up in the Northeast my whole life. I would love to see a WrestleMania back at the Garden, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think
we'll ever see again. As the listeners that listened to the episode we had on with Brandon a few weeks ago, you know, Scotty's been trying to kill Vince for months now. So who knows how much time Vince has left? We got to go back to New York at least once before the old man croaks.
Exactly. Yeah, before we bury him underneath with his dad. So actually, his dad's buried in Florida. But anyway, we could bury him anywhere. So, all right, before we dive into, we are going to, obviously tonight, we are going to talk NXT Stand and Deliver. We're not going to go nuts because some of you, by the time you listen to this episode, most of the show will, because, and this is why we're doing our episode early this week, because NXT Stand and Deliver is Wednesday, Thursday instead of Saturday, because Saturday is night one of the other show. So we wanted to get some NXT talk in here. So we'll give you a little preview. We'll pick all the matches, but we're really going to dive deep into the weekend and the two nights at the pirate ship. So that's most of the back half of this week's show. We wanted to have some fun with live and everything like we did last year. We had a blast last year, guys, and it's a shame just schedules and never really thinking about the right week to do it. We will do maybe we'll do a live episode with Brandon. That's not a bad idea. And have some of our listeners come on and ask him questions about the business. And maybe something to think about. Well, think about that down the line. That'd be pretty fun. All right. So this past weekend in Tokyo, in one of my favorite places to ever say, because it makes Steve chuckle under the dining room table, Ryugoku Kokugikan, one of my favorite things to say, New Japan had Sakura Genesis. And there was six matches. I'll rip them down quick. Many of them were multi-guy matches. What a shock. Two six-mans and a 10-man, only New Japan, everyone. Suzuki-gun, which is Duki, Zack Sabre Jr., and Taichi, defeated Bullet Club, Jado, Duki. I like Duki. Didn't we say it's Duki?
Yeah, that's fine.
It's Duki. I'm calling it Duki.
That's fine.
It's all about the Duki. Oh, that's Nookie. Oh, whatever. It's all the same song. Defeated Jado, Tamatanga, and Tongalo, of course, Gorillas of Destiny. So Bullet Club took the loss in the six-man. Chaos, Yoshihashi, Tomohiro Ishii, Haruki Goto, Toriano, and Okada defeated the other half of the Bullet Club, Dick Togo, Takahashi, Ishimori, Kenta, and Evil in a 10-man tag. In another six-man tag, United Empire, Great Okan, Jeff Cobb, and Aaron Hinare?
Mm-hmm.
Defeated Los Ignorables de Japón, Naito, Sanada, and Takagi. Tag match. Satoshi Kojima and Tanahashi defeated the other half of the Bullet Club, Jay White and Bad Luck Fale in a tag. So I don't know how many guys are the Bullet Club. Is this like NWO 98? Is there like Bullet Club Hollywood and Bullet Club Wolfpack? I mean, there's like 65
guys. They're definitely
guys
bloated
the
at this
Club.
Point.
My God, there's like 1,000 guys in the Bullet Club. Tag match here for a title. Roppongi 3K, Sho and Yo defeated Suzuki Gun to win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. And in the main event, in 30 minutes and 13 seconds, we have a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. It is Will Ospreay. He beat Kota Ibushi in 30-13 to win the title, Steve Willie.
Yeah, a pretty big deal. A little bit of a surprise, in my opinion, because the story... Well, Ospreay got the chance because he won the New Japan Cup, the tournament, right, over the last month or so. And the story there after he won is that he was going to do whatever it took to win the title, which included at that time, he would take out anyone who was in his way. And then he ended up giving an ass cutter to his girlfriend, Bea Priestley. And that kind of what we now know is that it wrote her off of New Japan because... seems like she's going to sign with you, with the big flamethrower, as you would say.
Yes.
And then his desire was to kill the wrestling god of Ibushi. Mm-hmm. So this match was the big deal because it was the first IWGP World Heavyweight title match. It used to be IWGP Heavyweight title. We talked about this on the last episode. They combined the two belts. So this was Ibushi's goal to combine both belts. He created a title, created a new belt. And so the story being that he put so much pressure on himself to do all that, the first offense comes and he loses. Despite the fact that crowd was, you know, heavily pro Ibushi, he was the big face. Ospreay was the heel here. And Ospreay took it to him. It was this was their fourth match, I think they said. Fourth one-on-one match.
Mm-hmm.
And they called back to the Wrestle Kingdom 13 match where Ospreay legitimately concussed Ibushi with his elbow. And just kind of the story from there of the two junior heavyweights who are now your main event heavyweights. They both put on weight. They both went from their high-flying style. They still high-fly on occasion, but more of, you know, that kind of New Japan strong style match. And It was pretty darn good. They were, I thought Kevin Kelly was actually really good in this match. Like, and Gino Gambino, who just, it's just a fun name to say, talking about how, Ospreay kept going for Ibushi, the back of his neck. And they're like, well, it's kind of an unwritten rule that you don't go for the back of your opponent's neck, through hits. And I was trying to think of that, like, is that a thing actually? And I think it might actually be a thing that we don't really see. Like, you don't really see like chops or punches or forearms to the back of someone's neck. So it was a pretty big deal that Ospreay won. The crowd, I think, was a little surprised in a good way. They got really into it in the end. In Japan, you're not supposed to be like cheering and screaming and yelling still. You can clap. And there were several times where there were audible like gasps and like doing some of Ospreay's moves. And then when he hit his finisher and then when he got the three count, they couldn't hold back. So that's a pretty good response to a match when you get a crowd to pop that technically isn't supposed to pop beyond clapping. And then the post-match was a big deal too, because Ospreay called out Okada because he wanted to avenge his loss at Wrestle Kingdom this year. Mm-hmm. And Okada came out to accept there's going to be a second Tokyo Dome show coming out. But Shingo Takagi came out and said, hey, I eliminated Okada in the first round of the New Japan Cup. I deserve a shot. So what's going to happen is Shingo's going to have the first shot at Ospreay, and then Okada's going to face the winner at the Tokyo Dome. So it seems as if, you know, this was Sakura Genesis is usually a much bigger show than as you went through those matches. They've definitely had less matches on all the shows since they've had crowds back. But this was a two-match show and really a one-match show if you want to be serious about it. So I think their strategy this year is, well, we're not going to have as many big matches per crowd, so per card. So what we're going to do is just have more big shows. So they've added, and go back here. They added, we have Dontaku coming up, which is a typical show, but in between them, they have, the Satsuma no Kuni shows. I butchered that, I'm sure, in the Kagoshima Arena. Those are newer shows. That's a two-day event at the end of the month where they'll have a couple title bouts. And then they have Dontaku, 2 days in Fukuoka, May 3rd and May 4th. And then the next big one will be immediately on May 15th, which is in Yokohama Stadium, which I believe is a baseball stadium. And then on May 29th, they'll do the Grand Slam in the Tokyo Dome. So these are, Dontaku is a normal show, but these are four big shows that they're not used to having. In the case of, you know, Yokohama Stadium and then Tokyo Dome, huge shows.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the title change, Nate?
I put Nate to sleep.
You did.
With my recap.
Speechless. Yeah, exactly.
I was respecting the Japanese protocols right now. not popping for that excellent explanation, clap. Steve. No, I think it's interesting. I think it shakes things up. It's you know, something that we've talked about where, and part of this is due to the pandemic, just like we're going to talk about a little bit later with WWE, where New Japan had started to feel a little bit stale. And I think this is a good way to shake things up. I don't know if they know where they're going with Ospreay yet, but I do think that, you know, as much as I love Kota and as much as we all love Kota, I think this is kind of a good way to shake things up and get some focus back on New Japan, because I haven't seen it yet, but everybody was talking about the match online and in the days following. So, you know, it sounds like something that, you know, I need to check out and something that might be beneficial for New Japan going forward.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm looking forward to seeing what these the Wrestling Dontaku cards at the tail end of April are going to look like, and you know, who's you know, when traveling can start to happen, maybe some Gaijins come in and maybe, you know, Moxley will actually lose the U.S. title give it to, I don't know, a guy that's there all the time.
He challenged Yuji Nagata for a match which will, I'm sure, will be on the NJPW Strong Show. So that's, you know, that should be a win for him. But I think that, you know, you're right, Scott, that so much of everything's been in a holding pattern. I think it was Desperado talked about who's the new Japan junior champ after Takahashi was injured, saying that he only wants to do the Juniors Cup this year if they can bring people in, unlike last year, to make it like it usually is, you know, an international affair. And so they have had a smaller group to choose from, and this is one of their answers, like bringing Ospreay and then moving Shingo Takagi up to the main event. And now you have a little bit more there as opposed to Okada, Tanahashi, you know, like your guys that are always up there, your Jay White's and then your Kota, like, and Naito, who's been kind of injured. So you can't do the same combination of matches and main events over and over and over again. And you have to elevate people. And Ospreay was one who has been going. It's not like they just shot him to the moon in 1 month. Like, he's been steadily moving up the card since he got there, I think, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, he said at the end of the interview that it was 5 years almost to the day since his debut. Definitely recommend checking that match out. I haven't checked out the junior tag match yet. It looked like it got some decent reviews, but if you're someone who just was like an occasional fan and would like to see the good matches, there's your match to watch. It was 30 minutes that felt like 20, which is always a good sign for me.
Okay. So one more thing we'll mention before we dive into the big stuff. Impact actually is going to have a show this weekend. Good for them. That's ballsy. But of course they're going to have it in the afternoon. Because they don't want to counter whatever the hell else is going on Saturday night. So they're going to do it in the afternoon, kind of what NWA did when they did Back for the Attack on the same day as Fastlane. Right now, there's only two matches slated, both women's matches. Deonna Purrazzo, my girl Deonna, will defend her Knockouts title against Jazz in a title versus career match. And apparently, I guess Jazz is retiring, so I think we know who's going to win that match. Then there's a six-woman weapons match to determine the next number one contender for the Knockouts title. Your participants are Alicia Edwards, Havoc, Jordan Grace, Rosemary, Susan, and Tennille Dashwood. So we will we'll talk more about that in a couple weeks, or next week. Well, actually, next week when we're on, we'll talk quickly about how that card plays out because we don't have any other matches, so we'll just let you know that. If you're bored Saturday afternoon and you have Impact Plus before night one of WrestleMania starts, watch the Impact show. Probably be pretty good. This is the first Hardcore Justice show since 2015. So, and so Kurt Angle was on that show, actually. In fact, the main event of the last Hardcore Justice was Eric Young and Kurt Angle in a stretcher match.
Wow.
So that was the main event. Who was the champion? That doesn't say who was the champion. The champion didn't have a... Oh, Drew Galloway defeated Low-Key in a pipe on a pole match. And look where... Whatever happened to Drew Galloway? Anyway. So that's...
Can I interject? Because I think this is the perfect time to interject this. You know, I was going to come in second part of the show with this hot little nugget about something that's happening over WrestleMania weekend, but we mentioned Drew Galloway and we mentioned Low-Key in the same sentence. Now, we know that Drew McIntyre will be main eventing one night of WrestleMania against Bobby Lashley. Now, if you have something else to do on Saturday, nothing else to do on Saturday, and you don't want to watch Hardcore Justice, and you are in the Tampa Bay area, you would like to go to 77 Courtney Campbell Causeway, where there will be a pool party. And the pool party will be hosted by Brooke Hogan. And Brooke Adams,
right.
And Layla and Selena De La Renta.
Brooke Adams, wasn't she?
Yeah, Low-Key will be
Brooke
there.
Brooke Adams.
Low-Key will be there. And they're also, you know, you're like, well, that doesn't sound very fun. What are Low-Key going to do? What are those young ladies going to do? What about some music? Well, good news. There's going to be a DJ set by Nick Hogan. So just to show you.
It's something, you know, I want to be at.
Yeah, 2015 Hardcore Justice to 2020. Where are they now? Ah. Loki's at oh god, I missed the best part. Oh, talk about bearing the lead. The name of the event. This is not a joke. Rosé All Day with Brooke Hogan.
I'm impressed. I'm going. yeah, okay. That's not Hardcore Justice. It would be Hardcore something else, but that ain't Hardcore Justice. All right. Over the next 2 days, starting, if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, so starting tonight, two nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, one of my favorite NXT TakeOver titles, as well as a great movie with what's his name? Who's that actor? He played the calculus teacher. Yeah, him. He played Jaime Escalante, the calculus.
Edward teacher. James Olmos.
Edward James Olmos, thank you. And Lou Diamond Phillips was in it, too.
So how do I reach these kids?
How do I reach these kids? That's right. Oh, great movie.
A great single from one of Shaq's albums.
Yes.
Stand and Deliver.
Exactly. Stand and Deliver. All right. So let's go through the matches quick. And we'll just go around the horn real quickly and get our picks. I got to be honest, guys. I will say this. If they play their cards right, this could very easily be the greatest show in the history of this company. Every match could conceivably deliver 5 stars. Seriously. I think it could. We'll have to see. Night one, which would be, if you're listening to the show, night one is tonight. For the NXT, not actually, we'll go up actually. Singles match, Pete Dunne taking on Kushida. Steve, start with you.
Wow, just put me right on the spot here. Kushida's been.
What do you want me to ask?
Yeah, like these are the matches I care about. Like the Faye Jackson sweatpants battle royal. Who's in that? I don't know what Pete Dunne's doing. I know he got into really good shape. It feels like Kushida's just kind of, you know, kind of poking at the upper card after his match with Gargano at the last takeover. But I feel that Pete Dunne has been ready for a big spot in the more of the heavyweight championship picture. And I feel that's going to continue. So I think Pete Dunne's going to take this.
Okay. Nate?
Yeah, I agree. I like Kushida a lot, but I'll go with Tim Capel's favorite NXT wrestler and pick Peter B. Dunne here.
Peter B. Dunne. I'm going for the upset. I like Kushida in this one. I like Kushida because I thought Kushida would hopefully be in the match that I'm going to mention shortly, and he's not. So
I was surprised by that too.
This match could end up being either a complete train wreck or a fucking masterpiece, or both, depending on your
both.
for the NXT United Kingdom Championship. My man, Walter, who I saw win the title from Pete Dunne live 2 years ago in Brooklyn. Walter will take on the Sicilian psychopath, Tommaso Ciampa. Nathaniel will, Milton, this could be 5 stars or could be the end of the world. I don't know.
Yeah, this is going to be a hell of a match. It'll be a whole lot of clubbering, as Dusty would say. I think that this match, like, and I think this whole card, like both cards, have some really great matches, but like, I love night one. Like, I think night one is going to steal the show and set a high bar for night two to try to match. This will be a nice hard hitting affair. But I don't think you take the title off of Walter yet.
I agree. Steve.
Yeah, I agree as well. This is a chance for Walter to have a match on United States soil. He's not moving from Europe, and Ciampa's not moving to Europe. So, you know, this is kind of a one-off, hard-hitting affair. This could be the match of both nights in terms of NXT. And possibly could be the match of all four nights. It's definitely one I'm looking forward to because I haven't been watching NXT much, and I really haven't seen Ciampa do much of anything over the last couple of years. So I'm intrigued to how this is a match I wish there was a crowd at, because I would be really interested to see how a crowd would react to this one, whose side they take. You know, would they boo Ciampa? When you know, I'd be really intrigued to see that. But I think it's just gonna be Tommaso Ciampa's chest is gonna be blistered by the end of this match.
Yeah, and I think he'll love it. I think he'll love it. I think he'll glare at Walter and challenge him to hit him harder. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. All right, next, a match that in which is kind of part one of something that will conclude on Thursday night. We have a six-man gauntlet eliminator match. The winner will take on Johnny Wrestling the next night, Johnny Gargano, for the North American Championship. Your participants, Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and your favorite name and mine, and my favorite early 90s sneaker, British Knight. Oh, sorry, L.A. Knight.
L.A. Gear.
L.A. Gear. I love both. I love British Knights and L.A. Gear. I wore both. This one's going to be fun. I think it'll be fun as they're coming down. It's going to be a war of attrition. I like Dexter Lumis, Steve.
What are the rules for this match? Because this seems like something we reviewed in 2002 TNA.
I'm pretty sure it's just a gauntlet match where two guys start. Somebody gets pinned, another guy comes out. Somebody gets pinned, another guy comes out. Somebody gets like a regular. I don't know why the word eliminator has to be put in there, but I'm pretty sure it's just a gauntlet match.
Okay, and the winner goes against Gargano. So I like your Dexter Lumis pick. It feels like that is a little bit of the storyline that they had for a while, where Lumis was kind of stalking all of Gargano's stable. But I'll pick Bronson Reed. He's been seeming to get a little bit of rub, get a big good guy in there against Gargano.
Yeah.
Just to mix something up.
Yeah, I would tend to agree, Scotty, because I think, you know, looking at who would be kind of the best character foil for Gargano, it's either Reed or Leon Ruff, and we just came off of a rough feud. And so there's a lot of interesting ways it could go. I think Cameron Grimes could be fun. Your boy LA Knight could be fun. Dexter Lumis won't be fun. but I'm going to go with Steve Willey. When all else fails, go with Steve Willey, and I'll say Bronson Reed.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Dexter Lumis. That's my pick. I'm definitely sticking with Dexter Lumis. All right, next, we have a triple threat tag team match for the vacant NXT tag team titles. MSK, Wes Lee and Nash Carter, Grizzled Young Veterans, James Drake and Zach Gibson, and Legado del Fantasma, Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wild. Nate, what do you think?
MSK, I didn't even need to hesitate on that. MSK, like they've brought them in. Now it's time to go forward and pull the trigger and make this the nucleus of your tag division going forward.
Steve?
There was part of me that thought Legado del Fantasma at first, and I also love Joaquin Wild, so that's part of it. I thought maybe, hey, they'd go with all three as the champions. But after the response to, and we knew how, you know, great MSK was coming in from their time in Impact and their time in the Indies. Like, it's not a surprise that they did so well, but with the reaction they got to NXT viewers who saw them for the first time in that tournament. And after, like, you got to put the belts on them and then you can go from there. It will. I definitely don't think it's going to be Grizzled Young Veterans. I would be shocked if it was them. More for the same reason as like Walter, you know, they're more UK guys. They haven't really been in the States that much. But it really feels like that would be the smart move to do when you get guys coming in who are automatically super over and you are charisma just bleeds off the screen. Like, why wouldn't you?
Mm. I'm going to go for the upset, and I'm actually going to take the Grizzled Young Veterans. That's my upset. My upset.
Scotty Contrary.
Yes, that's my upset. Because sometimes there's always at least one match on either NXT nights or WrestleMania nights that make no fucking sense. That's my pick for the no fucking sense match. I like Grizzled Young Veterans.
That's fine.
And the fight. And the final match of night one, the NXT Women's Championship, your champion, the deliciously exciting Io Shirai against Raquel Gonzalez. This is one that I'm probably not going against the grain. I like Raquel Gonzalez to win the title because I think we are going to see Io either next Monday or next Friday, Steve.
Yeah, she's had the belt for a long time. I'm not as familiar with the women's division in NXT as I used to be when I was watching it with the family more religiously. I know that Raquel's gone from pretty much Dakota sidekick to all of a sudden, you know, main eventing night one of the show. Mm-hmm. So I can see Raquel Gonzalez winning it and eventually Dakota Kai turning on her. And then that will be the program down the line. Raquel looks great. She's got a great look. She's much taller and stronger and looks more like, you know, a Charlotte Flair size, you know, Rhea Ripley size, as opposed to a lot of the other women on the NXT roster. So I think at some point they need to do something else with Io Shirai, and she's pretty much done all she can in NXT. So but then, yeah, what is she going to do with the main roster?
Yeah. I think the thing with Io is obviously she's got all the talent in the world, but we know that NXT call-ups have not fared the best on the main roster. We also know that they don't know what the hell they're doing with their women's division on the main roster. So Io comes up, and she's immediately going to team with Asuka, and then they'll have a feud while they're still tag team partners, because that's the go-to story, Scotty.
It's the only thing you can do with women.
Yes, they love a reluctant partner story. But yes, I'm gonna complete the triumvirate and give the win to my future second ex-wife after. Mm. After I rebound from Nia and I wind up in the warm arms of Raquel, and then that goes awry, Raquel with the belt. And I agree with you, Steve. Like, I think the next move is Raquel and Dakota, which is going to be interesting because they've kind of been all over the place the last few weeks in terms of their dynamic, where they were baby faces for like a month when they were feuding with Nia and Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're back to heels, but who's the bigger heel? And if it's Dakota versus the larger champion, like, are we supposed to have sympathy for Raquel in that scenario? So they've got to come up with a really good story, I think, to move that feud forward. But I do think that's the move.
I agree. So there's night one. Let us now hustle to night two, and we have, first up, we have the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship, your champions, Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart, taking on The Way, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. What do you think, Nate?
And this is where I will push back on your every match could be five stars, Scotty. Because I think this will be a fine match, but it'll just be a match. And I think Ember and Shotzi will get the win. I think it's too soon to hot potato that thing. I think Ember and Shotzi in a fine match, but, you know, not a six-star Tokyo Dome classic.
Steve, what do you think?
I agree. I would be surprised if they... I mean, because they did hot potato it literally on the first episode of the belt.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was, gosh, just a couple weeks ago at this point. So
maybe that's the gimmick with this belt, Steve. Like, nobody can.
It's 24/7. And the Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell are together. They're actually a team. They're not two women who don't really get along with each other, but have come together too. So that doesn't work. Those never. No.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the Shawn Michaels, John Cena 2007. Yes. All right. So there we go there. Okay. Next we have, all right. This is what I call the Shawn Michaels pet project match for the undisputed NXT Cruiserweight Championship. It is a ladder match. Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar. Something tells me, guys, this is the Shawn Michaels pet project match, and these two are going to lose their shit. I like Jordan Devlin to win the title, Steve.
Jordan Devlin had one of the most amazing ladder matches against a guy who we're not allowed to say anymore, David something or other, as he got signed. But I think it's kind of my anti-European bias apparently coming through this evening that I think Santos Escobar is going to win again because I think he's here to stay. He's a mainstay on 205 Live. He's a mainstay on NXT. He's got his group with him. But I think this is a, I still think Walter versus Tommaso is going to be the match I'm most looking forward to. But this one could steal the show if they don't kill each other, because ladder matches, we've seen a lot of them. But, there's been a couple really good ones over the last year. And there's been one bad one that I can think of in AEW, and they always try to want to top each other. So what are these two guys who haven't had the opportunity to do a match like this in front of a big audience? What are they going to do to get noticed?
True.
Yeah, I agree. I go with Escobar. I think it's going to be a great match. And there's an out with Legado del Fantasma where you can have some hijinks. And give Jordan Devlin a credible defeat. Plus, like, if the tag title match goes the way that Steve and I have predicted, like, who knows? Like, you could have some interesting six-man matchups to come out of this with MSK and Devlin versus Legado del Fantasma. So I think, yeah. And as Steve mentioned, like, Escobar is the guy that's here, and he's the guy that they obviously have a lot invested in so far. So I think he gets the title.
Okay. I just feel bad. Like, Jordan Devlin kind of got boned on this whole deal. Not his fault, obviously, with what happened. So I feel like he... Same thing with another match we're going to talk about later. It was not his fault that the belt he had, he no longer had. So I'm just thinking it from that way. But your guys, logistically, it makes perfect sense. All right. Next
and
up,
I think, I don't think the chase is built in yet for Devlin. Like, I think there's still some more sauce they could put on the chase, let it cook a little bit longer.
I agree with you. Good point.
So that the moment he wins for real, like, there's a bigger payoff to that.
Good point. Good point. I agree with you on that. You think so, Steve?
Yeah, I think so, too. Like, this is not that this has been rushed together. And, you know, it's been kind of hanging out in the ether for a long time. When will this match occur? But, like, in terms of actually a TV time, this is something that's pretty fresh.
All right. Next, this varies based on who we picked, but we talked about the Eliminator match on night one. Well, the winner of that Eliminator match will take on Johnny Wrestling himself, Johnny Gargano, for the North American Championship. You guys took Bronson Reed. I took Dexter Lumis. So I'll say for my think, I think Dexter Lumis will beat Johnny Gargano and become the North American Champion. Do you guys, since you both picked Bronson Reed, I'll start with you, Nate. Does Bronson Reed beat Johnny for the title?
No, I think Johnny retains.
Okay, Steve?
I think Bronzaga Reed is going to run out of energy from night one. And it's going to run into the bear, Johnny Gargano, and Johnny will hang on. I just, I don't know who's ready to take that and take that belt yet from Gargano, and the last thing I want to see is him lose and then have a continuing feud with that person to possibly get the championship again.
Okay. We'll see. I think Dexter Lumis has earned it.
I think the bigger question is, does the loser, if Johnny retains, does the loser immediately get caught up to the main roster? Because that's apparently a new gimmick, see Damian Priest.
I thought you were going to go with
that. Yeah, I know, right? I know, yeah.
I got another
we'll
Gonzaga.
See Dynamite the next week? Yeah. we'll see about that. All right. Next, definitely a match where the loser is going to be somewhere either Monday night or Friday night. In an unsanctioned match, a former Undisputed Era-ite, Adam Cole, baby, and Kyle O'Reilly. Obviously, everyone's looking forward to this match because it's going to be just a disgusting, bloody mess and lusciously delicious at that. I like Adam Cole to job here. I like Kyle O'Reilly to win.
Yeah.
And I think we will see Adam Cole next Friday night. Nathaniel.
Yeah, I would agree. Even though he's no longer the champion, like other than Finn, he's obviously still like the top guy on the brand. And so this is to me, you know, it's Flair leaving a territory. You know, he's going to do the job right on the way out. I think fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, Steve, we will be seeing Adam on the main roster sooner rather than later. So Godspeed.
I know. Not looking forward to that.
Yeah, I wish he was able to hold out until fans came back. Because it would be hard to...
Right.
Yeah, it would be hard to ignore the response that he would get from the crowd where, you know, if he shows up on any Thunderdome match, you can make it sound however you want. It's just up to, you know, kind of Vince's whim based on how he feels the response is. I do agree that Kyle O'Reilly wins this match. I mean, it's obviously the story. And with, a heel losing, it's very easy for them to say, I never lost. This match didn't even count. So, so you know, kind of save face there. There was a, I'm not very good with remembering my years, but in New York City a few years ago, there was an Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly match that became kind of infamous because Kyle O'Reilly accidentally popped Cole in the mouth and busted out a couple of his teeth. And Cole was just bloody, just a bloody mess hard way from that. And that was kind of what put both of them kind of, they were kind of like young upstarts at that point in Ring of Honor on the way up. And that kind of got them over more. They were with Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards at that point. That kind of put them on another level where they kind of belonged equally. And it's sort of, it's kind of cool that years later, here they are in an unsanctioned match, which could kind of be similar. I mean, that was an accidental getting busted out open, but okay, this is going to be another brawl. This is the end of the Undisputed Era. And this will help Kyle O'Reilly. He already had his matches with Balor, but kind of cement him on the top of NXT and move Adam Cole up a step as well. It's just kind of a nice little story there for people who have been following these guys for a long time, and they've been in NXT for a long time, and they've been in ROH for a long time. So, you know, if you're big wrestling guys like we are, like we know this kind of stuff. And so it's neat to see. Mm-hmm. And I give them kudos for writing the story.
Yeah, and legend has it, Steve, after that match in ROH, the very next day, Adam Cole went to the dentist office. And there he met an aspiring young DMD named Britt Baker. And the rest is history, ladies and gentlemen.
Ah, you guys set me up.
Kyle O'Reilly. Thank you.
You guys set me up. That was great. All right, and to wrap up our Stand and Deliver preview, the final match, I don't think this will be the last match, though. Well, it depends. The NXT Championship.
No, I put the unsanctioned match on last.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because my personal opinion, this match is not going to be very long. Finn Balor takes on Karrion Kross. I think this should be a four-minute squash. I think Karrion Kross should pummel him into dirt and take back his belt, Steve. That's how I think this should be booked. I think this should be like Seth beating Brock at MetLife 2 years ago. That's what I think.
I am so torn in this match because I feel that's the way to go. You know, like is to have Karrion Kross win, and like I won't go 4 minutes, like under 10 minutes. I think Balor's talking about bringing, like, he's not going to bring the demon, but he is going to bring a dark side of him. I was just reading an interview with him today talking about that. That, mm-hmm. you know, you wonder if they're just going to press the reset button and put Karrion mm-hmm. Kross back to where they wanted him to be after he beat Keith Lee. Mm. And, okay, you know,
yes,
kind of go with that from there and go in the direction they wanted to go to. So that's definitely where I'm leaning. But then there's like that part of me that's fighting with myself. This is like hedging my bets. Good God, this is like cop out. Like, oh, that's expected. So maybe they'll pull the swerve and keep in winning. But I will say Karrion Kross is my pick that I will stick with.
Okay. All right. Nate?
I think the storyline dictates Karrion Kross winning. And as Steve mentioned, they kind of hit that reset button. The other thing is, like, Finn is bigger than the belt at this point for NXT.
Like, I think absolutely is.
Finn just being there makes him a special attraction, and him just being on that roster makes him, like, whenever he wants to, he's the number one contender, if he so chooses. And so I think you can reset, give Karrion the belt back, and then, like, there's other things that you can work with Finn Balor on, and he can help get somebody else over.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think. But I just think Karrion, just like the Jordan Devlin thing, like Karrion Kross did not get a chance to be champion through no fault of his own. I think he's earned his shot to have it back. Finn mm-hmm. has done a nice job keeping it warm, and he's had good matches, but it's time for Karrion Kross to have his shot back. So I think, all right, maybe not 4 minutes, maybe under 10, but I think Karrion Kross needs to win this match decisively. That's my opinion. And take that NXT title. So, all right. There is one half of the big week for the Flamethrower. There's your NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, complete with Andy Garcia as the Calculus FBI, or whatever the hell they were, like the math cops. And I think night one will be on USA, and night two, I think, is on the cock, I think.
You can watch Net One on both USA and the cock.
Yeah, and I honestly, I kind of think they picked the better show for night one on USA for the final Wednesday NXT.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. No, you're right on that. You're right on that. All right, guys. A good first half of our WrestleMania week preview. But before we dive into the big show, let's get all the fun and games out of the way in the quad of pods and our affiliate friends, such as the Kings of Sport Patreon, which does not stop for Holy Week, Vince Week, any week. It just keeps cranking, Nate Milton. What do you got?
Yes, unlike the WWE with WrestleMania, whose tagline for this year is back in business with a poster that looks like a reboot of Masters of the Universe, the Kings of Sport, we're not back in business because we never stopped doing business, Steve Willie. Mm-hmm. And if you can check out the Patreon right now, patreon.com/Kings of Sport, get the latest edition of the Kings of Sport podcast where we talk NFL, NBA, a little March Madness. That's up there for the good people, as well as the latest edition of the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, which was a part of post-podcast day over the past weekend. So Marcus, Chris, Andrew Thompson, and myself did a live episode of the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, and you can find that now on the Kings of Sport Patreon. We've got some other shows in the hopper, including The Chain Reaction, ladies and gentlemen. It is back in business, as the title would say. And right now, it's planned to be myself, Scotty, probably a drunk or high on Moderna Chris, and maybe Brent. Who knows who else might join the festivities, and that'll be Sunday night, because we're not doing two nights. Mm-hmm. No way.
No.
So, yeah, we're doing the Sunday night after Mania, and that'll be up late Sunday, early Monday, for anybody that wants to hear our thoughts on the biggest show of the wrestling year. And again, you can check it out, patreon.com/KingSport. $5 gets you in the door, but if you want to pay more, get in that exclusive Steve Willie VIP Lounge. We won't stop you.
Yeah, we serve only the finest of cat foods.
That's right. And you get to sit on the floor.
So. Yes.
Yes, you get to sit on the floor. A bowl of cat food and a glass of Terramana, and then you're all set.
Yep. What else do you need?
I hope I get Pfizer. All right. Thank you, Brother Nate. I am a sponsor, as is Steve, and we do a lot of great things. Love the Kings of Sport Patreon. We also love the feed you're listening to right now, the PTB Wrestling Network. It's been a fun week. Rory McNamara with his newest episode of Senior Video, WrestleTape 1992 with Mike Poulin. Check that out. This continuing saga of which WrestleMania is better, 17 or 19, continued this week. Earlier this week, at the episode where they watched Mania 19, and then they're going to do an analysis pod. So, you know what? What do you think? 2001 Astrodome, 2003 Safeco Field. What do you think? We've got the evidence. We got the analysts. Also this week, as we're dropping later today, the next installment of Jacob Williams and Tyler Kelly's GWCW reveal pod. They're at numbers 60 to 51. Logan Crosland, new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone will drop later this week. And of course, this coming weekend, the NWA Saturday special. Myself and the doctor, we will recap this week's episode of NWA Power and who won the two big questions. Who won the World TV title match between the Pope Elijah Burke and Fred Rosser? And who was Sal Renaro's partner as he challenged Aaron Stevens and J.R. Kratos for the World Tag Team titles? Check out this weekend's episode of the NWA Saturday special. Dr. G and I will tell you that. That is here on the Wrestling Network. Of course, we have the other great pods in the quad, the PTB Pop Experience, Andy Atherton running that. Of course, the Jenny Position, which is going to be having a fun weekend. And, of course, the No-So, the North-South Connection podcast feed with Justin and JR and Aaron and Chad Campbell and everybody else over there. So there you go. PlaceBeNation.com. We're continuing counting down the composite ballot of the GWCW countdown. And also go to Amazon through Place to Be Nation. Buy your stuff. Comes back a little bit. Comes back to us to help run stuff. And, of course, go to tpublic.com. Type PTBW in the search. And check out all the great merch we have for you with all of the great logos of all of your favorite podcasts. The Quad of Pods. It's where it's at in pop culture and wrestling and everything else along the internet, whether you're sitting under your dining room table eating Purina or not. Wait, Purina's dog food. What's the cat food? I don't know. Anyway, shrimp. Who knows? all right, let's dive in, guys. Let's talk proper. Let's talk turkey. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes. Saturday and Sunday at the Pirate Ship, which was supposed to be a year ago. Pretty much redoing last year's poster. It's the same fucking poster. Same poster, just this time Roman Reigns does not have his vest on because now he wrestles bare chested for the ladies. Nate wishes another Samoan wrestler wrestled with no shirt on. Anyway,
I think you're forgetting the most important addition to the poster this year.
Bad Bunny.
Yes, the star, the headliner of WrestleMania 37, Bad Bunny.
Yes, he has ears on his hair. Okay, digging that. All right. all right. So this also broke it up into two nights. There is no more WWE Network in North America. It is officially retired. You have to watch it on the cock. And I am not looking forward to it.
I don't know why I find this so funny. I must be slap happy. The cock.
The cock. I did not watch Fastlane. I watched it on the network because I still had the network at that time. Mm. But there were some Peacock stream issues during Fastlane. That was acceptable for Fastlane. It will not be acceptable Saturday night or Sunday night. So, guys, before we dive into the matches, what is your level of optimism that this is going to your level of optimism that this is not going to be a shit show this weekend? Steve, I'll start with you.
I think that they're going to have the stream working fine. I mean, it is NBC as well. So, you know, they have experience with live sports. My big knock on it, and I've heard it's not going to be fixed until closer to SummerSlam, is that I rarely with, you know, with these shows, the times they start like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I help put my kids to bed and, you know, with dinner and stuff like that. So I usually don't watch these shows if I'm watching them live until later on. Mm. And so I might start at 8:30 and come, you know, I'll start the 7 o'clock because I don't want to get spoiled on anything. And you can't do that with Peacock. You can't, like the network, you were able to go start from the beginning, like almost mm-hmm. every single streaming service. And you don't miss a darn thing. And, you know, you can fast forward the minute or two of the little fluff in between matches and pretty much catch up by the end of the show. And you can't do that. So that is a big knock for me. I think the stream will most likely be fine. There might be one or two little botches here or there. That's, you know, that's part of the game. That's happened in previous Manias as well, when you have so many people on it. Yeah, so I'm not too concerned about that. I'm just unhappy with that setup for a streaming service, which you would think is... I mean, everything has it. Like, I can go on Pluto TV right now and jump to the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. You would think, Nate, at some point they'd fix that.
Yeah, and I think Steve's right in that the stream should be solid for both nights. I think the bigger issue is, well, it's two issues. Number one, yes, NBC has experience with streaming. They have experience streaming sports. What they don't have is experience streaming to wrestling fans outside of Fastlane. And that's a big thing. Wrestling fans are notoriously, mm-hmm. Discerning, Steve Willie.
I wouldn't use that word. No, that would not be the word I would use.
Wrestling fans are that they're very particular about what they will and will not accept. And they're very vocal as well. So all it's going to take is one or two hiccups and you get that ball rolling. I think the bigger thing, even more so than the stream, is the accessibility and the ease of use of Peacock, because wrestling fans are also stuck in their ways a lot of times. And, you know, you've conditioned them to use the network. And now you've got to condition them to use a new platform, which might involve, you know, watching the show via their game console if they can't get it on their TV. Or perhaps they'll have to watch it on their laptop. Or, God forbid, spend 4 hours over, you know, 8 hours over two nights watching it on their phone. So they're going to have to – I think that's something where – maybe they should have lengthened the runway, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously, you know, the deal happened when the deal happened. But perhaps they should have either tried to lengthen that runway to get the WWE audience used to the Peacock system, or wait till after WrestleMania. Like, I know you want to have this big splash, WrestleMania exclusively on Peacock. But if you get the complaints, you get the negativity coming out of it, then was it worth it? So I think that's going to be, to me, even more so than anything that happens in the ring, that's going to be the mm-hmm. biggest story of the weekend, is Peacock and how they put on WrestleMania and how the audience was able to access it.
Yeah, the fact that, I mean, I don't know if I'll be around. Actually, I won't be around Saturday, so I probably will not watch any of night one. I'll watch it the next night, so we can have, I'll probably watch it the next day. So I'll be educated, of course, for our show, Nate, but I will probably not watch it live. I'll be like, all right, whatever, you know, it's cool, no problem. I'm not going to go crazy. This is the last year of this 2-year anomaly. I don't think we will have two nights next year in Dallas. I think Vince is going to wants to go back to the way things used to be, and we have a big 13-hour show in Arlington, which ends with Triple H, which is really what should be. But anyway, I do believe that that's not going to happen next year, and I think we could just kind of suck it up. And I think maybe this – I feel like, guys, and I don't want to belabor this point. We could talk more about this, like, with Brandon over the coming episodes as we get into summertime. But I feel like Peacock's internal timeline is by SummerSlam, all of the stuff that everybody's going to hate will be fixed. I think we will be able to move the timeline around. I think we'll be able to start from the beginning. I think all that stuff will be available by SummerSlam, just like all of the archive content will be done by SummerSlam. Hopefully there's nothing more to chop up.
Yeah.
But, and the only three things they've chopped up so far probably deserve to. I'm offended by that Bad News Brown Roddy Piper match because it's so bad. Thank you. Thank you for eliminating a garbage match out of a pay-per-view. Oh, what did Piper have on his face? Ah, who gives a shit? The match sucked. Anyway, no. For those that don't know, the only three things so far that have been publicly cut, all of the Piper Bad News stuff from WrestleMania 6, which probably should, but the match itself sucks, and so nobody's going to forget it. Vince's gaffe, I'm trying to be comfortable, at the 2005 Survivor Series, which I think the network should have cut a long time ago. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's on, you know, I should throw it in, guys, because I own it. I don't think it's on the DVD. I don't think it's on the Survivor Series 05 DVD, which I own. That's nothing. That's not news. And apparently they cut the DX Mox the Nation from the July 96 Raw, which is kind of sad, but maybe that's sad. But I guess it is. I guess that humor is kind of dated. I'll acquiesce to that. But it was funny. Come on. It was funny. How did you get your pecs to go all the way out to your back? I mean, come on. It was funny. It was funny. Come on. Mark Henry thought it was funny. So, nah. But, I mean, that stuff probably... There are probably a few Attitude Era things that are probably dated. But other than that, like, people are nervous that, the Peacock dipshits are going to cut every middle finger and every beer. We shouldn't be promoting alcoholism and everything. No, they're not going to... These fucking 19-year-old millennial dipshits that are sitting in a room are not going to do that. Excuse me, sir. There's too many middle fingers.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Throw the fucking guy out the window. That's what's going to happen. So anyway.
I was trying to talk to somebody about this because, you know, they were having a panic attack almost, Steve, about stuff being edited from the network. And it's like the stuff that's on the network isn't in the original form.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, like I get that, you know, there's some stuff that you might want to stay on the network, but this stuff has always been edited, right? Like, there's a reason why New Jack comes out to some weird Casio keyboard version of his theme in ECW. There's a reason, like, there's a reason why Chris Jericho comes out to his WWE theme on his WCW matches. And so it's like, yeah, like, I get it, but it's going to be fine. Like, you won't even really notice what they take out because that's what corporations do. They make changes that you don't notice until it's too late. And then by then, you're used to it, so you don't care.
Right. And everybody's saying, they're probably going to, you know, chop up all the Crockett stuff because, you know, all that Southern wrestling was racist. I watched literally before the network ended. I literally watched every single episode of Mid-Atlantic going all the way back to, I think it was in 1981. I've watched all of them. I think there's like six left I have to watch. There's nothing wrong with any of them.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with any of them. There's nothing wrong with them. There is no, you know, questionable words said about Pez Watley or anything like that. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Mid-South. Oh, God. Oh, okay. Bill Watts, big racist. And you and I, Nate, talked a long time ago about this. I watched all the Mid-Souths. They're all fine. They're all fine. You know, whether or not whatever Bill Watts' internal motives were, and we're not going to get into this discussion, Nate, you and I talked about this a long time ago on a show.
Yeah.
The fact remains is on the screen, it's all fine. I watched all of it. I watched all the Mid-South. It's fine. It's fine. ECW is what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the Southern territories. I'm worried about are they going to leave on there now? I'm not here to start a political thing, guys. I swear to God, I'm not. But I'm curious if Peacock will care if people will get offended leaving in Sandman getting crucified by Raven and his kid. Kurt Angle found that offensive. That's why he didn't go to ECW.
That's why he didn't go.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think that the things
that's why he didn't go.
The things that they pulled out were already infamous, very well known. Mm. And there might be small stuff here or there that might be taken out that we don't know. Mm. I mean, they've left in the Young Pistols and their Confederate flag, you know, outfits.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, they're the faces, yeah. And they're, you know, I think it's, you know, the only thing worse than people getting mad about others getting offended is the straw man arguments about that. Oh, people, they're going to take this out and it's horrible and I can't believe that they did. No. Get mad if they do it. Don't prematurely get offended at something that hasn't happened because it may happen.
Right.
Like,
oh, absolutely right. I agree with you 100% on that. Yes.
Because that's right. I mean, and that's Nick, kind of what you're saying, like the panic attack of what's going to happen. Probably very little.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the things that are taken out are glaring. You know, they didn't keep in the Harlem Heat interview with mm-hmm. Mean Gene. That wasn't on the network. You know, are there people up in arms about that? And right. if you really want to see it, if you're that like, hard up to see Roddy Piper in a half blackface
in a terrible match.
Yeah, in a horrible, horrible,
in a terrible match. Anyway,
you can Google it. Mm-hmm. It will be okay.
Like the DVD still exists. The YouTube still exists.
The VHS still exists.
DVD. Yep.
And I can guarantee you right now, they will not touch one. And I'm serious when I. And I don't think they would anyway, because NBC really doesn't give two shits. They're not going to cut any Benoit.
Mm-mm. No.
They're not going to cut any Benoit.
No.
They're going to do... They're just going to leave it there because no... I guarantee you, after a while, NBC's like, this is not worth it. Why don't you slap a disclaimer like Disney Plus did for mm-hmm. the Muppet Show? Mm-hmm. Just throw the disclaimer and be done with it. You'll feel better about yourself. You've done your part. The wrestling fan watching can decide if they want to watch it or not and move on with our lives. End of story. Let's just.
And the other thing, Scotty, like if anybody had the right to be upset about this, it'd be Vince. And Vince doesn't care because Vince got a truckload of money.
He did. He did. Vince, and he knows is like, our fans will be happy.
Cut whatever you want.
Yeah. I hate Fritz Von Erich anyway. Get rid of that world class crap.
Yeah, don't even put it on the air. Take it off the air altogether.
Throw in some XFL games while you're at it.
Don't have anything.
XFL games.
Yeah, that's the entire WWE. Like, I got $1 billion. What do you? I'm happy. My shareholders.
Can we do a live watch? Can we do a live watch of that LA Chicago game with Vince and Ebersol the night that they had to blow off the J-Lo SNL? Mm, I'd love that. I'd watch. That would be tremendous.
Tommy Maddox's career highlight.
Watch.
Yeah.
Yep. Winning the big game at the end. Oh, shit. All right. Let's have some. All right. Enough of that. Enough of the Peacock nonsense.
I think we'll this goes to show Peacock. You. Here's the thing. Not only is I think we spent so much time on Peacock for a couple things. A couple reasons. Number one, I do feel like it's going to be the biggest story of the week. But number two, Peacock has been the more interesting story than 90% of this WrestleMania card, unfortunately.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree. And we'll obviously, Nate, we'll talk about it Sunday night on the Chain Reaction. And obviously, guys, next week on our regularly scheduled Friday episode of Main Event, we'll talk about, Steve, we'll get your thoughts on the post-mortem. So, all right. Speaking of matches, let's just dive in. Let's hop in. Let's get through it. All right. Night one, Saturday night. We've got 7 matches. We begin with a tag team turmoil match. All right. I'm already pissed off. Okay, so the winner of this match faces Nate's wife and Shayna for the women's tag team titles. Your teams, Lana and Naomi, Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, the Riot Squad, Liv and Ruby, and two people that are even more offensive to me than Chris Benoit or a black-faced Roddy Piper. I want everything Natalia and Tamina edited out of the fucking network, because if I have to watch them, I'll kill myself. Why are they even here? Give me a break. God.
This is a WrestleMania match.
Yeah, it is.
In front of fans.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Possibly the first match in front of fans.
Yes.
Yeah. I have a feeling this will be in the middle. But anyway. All right, Nate, who's facing your girl and Shayna on Sunday?
This, again, shows you, like, again, why I have such low expectations for what they will do when EO eventually comes to the main roster, because the Riot Squad are the only legitimate team out of this bunch, Steve Willie, and they've done nothing since they've reunited. Dana and Mandy are only there because they're blonde. Lana and Naomi are only there because they have nothing else to do. Natalya and Tamina are only there because of nepotism. So,
Yep.
You know what? Here's the thing, Steve. I do this from time to time. We've talked about this before. When I can't pick a good winner to a good match, I vote for chaos. I choose violence. And I want all of those fans that braved the virus, that got vaccinated, that went down to Tampa to suffer on night two. So I'm going with Natalya and Tamina to face Nia and Shayna.
God.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome.
You are killing me.
Because that'd I want to so see good. How that match is received on night two.
But lucky I'm not there. That pirate ship's going to sink worse than the Chiefs when they play there in February. Oh, good God. Shoot me in the fucking head. Thank God I'm not going this year. What do you think, Steve?
They have all this time to come up with this stuff. And they were like still deciding the card over the last like 4 or 5 weeks, right? That's what all the... that they didn't know what they were going to do.
How about 4 or 5 minutes?
Yeah.
This is like booking... This WrestleMania has been like booking a 99 Nitro. Toilet paper, baby.
I will, because I also think Carmella and Billy Kay are going to be a part of it too. They're not formally announced yet, but they're kind of teasing that. I'm going to go with, the Riot Squad already had a title shot, and they're the only team there. I'm going to go with the person who has gotten basically no love at all over the last year, and someone who has been massively bullied the entire last year because of her husband. So I'm going to say Lana and Naomi will win, because I don't think
that's actually who I'm picking.
Yeah, I think that whatever you say about Lana and her wrestling ability, I think that she's done a ton over the last year, and you know a lot of it is because of her husband. There's no shortage of evidence over the last 12 months of if a spouse or a significant other has a problem, the other one is going to be punished with them. And, you know, Lana going through how many tables in consecutive night, there's a story there. And then Naomi, for whatever reason, hasn't really been used. And she is always super over with big crowds. That's who I would go with.
And that's her home state too. So it's not a bad pick, Steve.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I like Lana and Naomi too, just for that reason. For that reason. So, and we'll get into the match, obviously, when we do night two, but shame on you, Nate, for even attempting to come up with some nonsense. Not,
like,
seriously.
When we do these picks, I pick who I think's going to win, and sometimes I pick who I think should win, if that makes sense. Like, in my mind, who should win. And really, that's all that matters in my brain anyways, is who I think should win.
All right. Of course. Because that's all podcasters do, is care about what we think. Although Nate's choice of match may break Peacock, so who knows? the stream may end up disintegrating after that. So, all right. We have a nice little singles match action going on here next, boys. We've got Cesaro taking on Seth Rollins, which seems like a nothing throwaway match, but this one might actually be kind of fun, Steve.
Yeah. It was a bit of a surprise to me that this all of a sudden started happening over the last few weeks, and Seth Rollins came back. And Cesaro's gotten a little mini push to a singles run in the mid card. I think Cesaro takes this one. I think this is going to be a heck of a fun match. And Seth Rollins doesn't need to win or lose at this point. He's one of those untouchable guys and so it would be smart to continue to let Cesaro raise up, and he's been presented as the baby face. Seth Rollins already got a win over Cesaro's partner, so it makes sense to me that they would go with Cesaro. That's a Nate's picking Seth Rollins.
Exactly, because I think if given the proper time, which I'm not sure if it'll get the time because there's a lot to get to on this card. Like, this could be the match of the night, match of night one. But I'm going with Seth Rollins because you mentioned a key word there, Steve Willie. Two key words, actually, smart and sense. And there's a lot on this card that I would argue, Scott, is contrary to smart or sense. And so I'm going with Seth Rollins, even though it would be a nice moment for Cesaro to have a big WrestleMania win, because he's a guy that's been really good for a really long time and unfortunately has kind of been stuck at a certain level, Steve.
Yeah, very much so.
Crazy. All right. I think Seth in this match too, but I think Cesaro's going to give it a good run. Next up, a match that I absolutely do not care about. Do not care.
This is terrible.
This is awful. Once again, we have to stroke a McMahon's peacock, and Shane gets in a cage with Braun fucking Strowman. Why do we care? Why? Can't the McMahons just go away? Why? Nate Milton, why?
Remember when
I didn't care.
Remember when I mentioned moments ago, Steve Willie, about smart and sense? Exhibit A of not smart and nonsensical, Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman. This is going to be a match that I think, like, this will be the beer match. This will be the bathroom break at the stadium. This and the women's match. Or the tag turmoil match. Braun wins. Braun should win. This feud, like, and here's the thing, you know, you mentioned the McMahons, Scotty, and them always wanting to be, you know, all on the track, all on the video, like Suge Knight said about Puff Daddy back at the Source Awards, you know. I think there's good applications of Shane McMahon. This isn't it. And so we're going to get a signature Shane stunt, and however you feel about that depends on how much you like signature Shane stunts. I could take
it the same one.
Yeah, the same.
It will be the same one as it always has been for 20 years.
Fall off the cage onto this table.
Yep.
Collect my paycheck. But yeah, this show is not starting off, other than Cesaro and Seth, Steve Willie, this show is not lighting my world on fire yet.
I hope this gets booed out of the building. I really do. Because it's, you know, talk about offensive. This is offensive on many levels. Braun Strowman is not over in the least.
Yes. So you're saying they need to edit this before it even airs?
Yes. the match itself, I mean, if you're going to put Shane McMahon, like, Shane McMahon's best match, right? Kurt Angle. You know, like a superstar, you know, like who can carry people. Braun Strowman can't do that. So it's not even going to be a good match. Third, the buildup to it is, it's offensive because it's like, it's what like a 7-year-old, how a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old would insult someone in the 1980s. Like, 7-year-olds and 10-year-olds are from today. I'm like, no, that's not. You're calling him, like, stupid? Like, that's, like, one step away from calling someone the R word. And that's, like, not something that happens, like, for 40 years that hasn't happened. Like, 7-year-olds can literally come up with better insults with that. I know I've been called them.
Steve's right though, Scotty. Like, if you look at Shane's best matches, there's Kurt, the Kevin Owens. I thought that was a decent feud. AJ. So he needs somebody to steer the ship. When Shane McMahon is arguably the best worker in the match, you've got a problem.
And Shane's gonna have a freaking heart attack at some point, because last couple of years, even if he comes down to the ring, he is beat red. He is soaking wet. Before matches even started, sometimes even our promos even started. And the first one that started this one, it, like, you know, the whole joke was that he was stuttering, saying stupid, but he couldn't even get the words out of his own promo, which was really ironic. Again, a WrestleMania match.
Yeah. Yeah. We're off to a rousing start, guys, on night one. Yeah. this is not pretty at all. All right. Next. Another match that I don't care about. The Raw Tag Team Championship. The New Day, Kofi and Xavier, taking on AJ Styles and Omos.
Kofi Kingston's shining moment. Oh, wait, no, this is not Kofi Kingston's shining moment.
Oh, no, wait. I was live for Kofi Kingston's shining moment. And I was, yeah. Yeah, this is a thing that's happening here. Steve, Nate, anybody. I mean, I know we love Kofi and X-Man. We do. I think this is just a way for Omos to turn on AJ and break off on his own. That's my take.
See, you're going too fast, Scotty. You're going too fast. This is, slow down. Pump the brakes, Scotty. This is the WWE. We don't have teams break up until they win titles together. And for that reason, I think we're going to get a title change. And like it doesn't hurt the New Day. The New Day are in that Seth Rollins category of being Teflon at this point. Absolutely. But, like, you know, you talk about, like, how this is almost a demotion for Kofi and Xavier. It's also a demotion for AJ.
For AJ
so you've
Styles.
Got three of the best guys on your Raw roster and you're using them to promote Omos, who, like, he may be good. Nobody knows what the hell this kid can be. He might be good. Right. He might be Giant Gonzalez 2.0. But you're sacrificing, in a way, three guys who could go out and have a great match with anybody else on the card to build up this project. And we'll see what they do with it. But I do think AJ and Omos win the title, Steve. And then we get the inevitable bickering and the Omos babyface turn. Hooray.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
Yeah. I like his theory, Steve. What do you think?
I have honestly nothing to add to that. I think it's spot on.
I honestly have nothing to say. Can we move on?
Yeah. Seriously, like you know, it's we have this project and we're going to debut them at again where WrestleMania, the first WrestleMania, the first night that we've had live fans at in over a year. We're going to do Strowman and Shane McMahon, and you know, here you go, Omos. Yeah, have fun. Here's your debut.
Yeah. A little bonkers.
This night one is rough. Now that we're looking at all of these matches, match by match, night one is rough, Scotty.
Yeah, night one's gonna suck. I'm kind of glad I'm not watching it live. All right. Oh,
I'm glad I didn't go.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I didn't go either.
I'd be at the rosé party.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I didn't burn my JetBlue credit from last year on this year. I could use it next year in my football team's building. For my 17 straight hour WrestleMania, thank you very much. All right. This tag team match, Jesus Christ. All right. The Miz and Morrison, who used to be an awesome team back in the day, take on Damian Priest. You know what? I can't even
star,
be mad.
The star of WrestleMania.
Exactly. Exactly. He's the guy that may put up the most work rate on this entire weekend. And if we're going to have to watch Shane McMahon attempt to go move for move with a guy twice his size, we can root for Bad Bunny and his weird looking ears on his fro thing. I don't know what that is. Okay, whatever. Obviously, Bad Bunny and Damian Priest are going to win. Damian Priest is going to hit a move on Miz, and Bad Bunny's going to get to pin him. That's exactly what's going to happen, Nate. That's what I think, anyway.
Yeah, like here's the thing. Like, Bad Bunny is a little bit outside of the three of us in terms of our music demographics, but. Bad Bunny. Yeah, I know Scott's got the entire Bad Bunny J Balvin catalog on his iPod
right
now.
I do.
And he's got it on his iPod. That's the kicker.
No. It's on a Zune.
It's on a Zune. Yeah, Star-Lord and Scott Criscola are the only two people with Zunes right now.
Exactly. Yes.
But I think the thing with like Bad Bunny is like he's the celebrity that actually wants to get involved with this stuff, and so I kind of have to give him begrudging respect for that, Steve, because he could easily be, you know, a little too cool for school here, but you can tell he's a fan. You can tell he wants to do this stuff. And I think the match will be just long enough. Like, I don't think they're going to go longer than 10 minutes. It'll be what it needs to be. They'll have their mainstream moment. And, you know, my only fear is that the crowd in attendance turns on Bad Bunny. That's my only fear, Steve.
Well, if you're listening to this and you're going, turn on Braun and Shane, turn on Famous Amos, Willie Ames, and don't turn on this, because I think it will be okay. He's bringing them a ton of press. He's bringing them a ton of money. And he's like, Bad Bunny is popular. It's not like this is like, I mean, my young one listens to Bad Bunny. I know he's pretty talented. He's a good musician. And like you said, and what I think is important when you have a celebrity match is that the person is trying, they're training, and they care. Mm-hmm. And I'll go like your Stephen Amell's, your Shaq, even in AEW, and in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, and Bad Bunny here. I think you have that. This is not like someone showing up at, you know, for a paycheck or, just to get attention, like a JWoww or something like that.
This is not Snooki.
Yeah. So if they keep it in a few minutes, it's going to be ha ha ha. I agree. Like, Priest will like kill him with his finisher and then like launch Bad Bunny off the top rope into a splash, and Bad Bunny gets the pin, and Miz and Morrison cry. And then they go and wash the waterproof, the water soluble paint off the Bugatti.
I just thought of a great idea. If I could turn back the clock, what about we go back to WrestleMania 8 and we have like Shawn Michaels and I need another heel. Shawn Michaels and I don't know, Papa Shank. No, that wouldn't make sense. Shawn Michaels and, I don't know, some other heel, Teddy Biasi or something, against Snoop and Dr. Dre. And they come out to nothing but a G-Thang. And then at the end of the match, they spray Sherry with 40-0s. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that's what I talk about, cross-promotion, baby. With a big picture of the cover of the Chronic album right in the front. Genius. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Anyway, I try, guys. I try. all right. We got let's end the night with a couple of title matches. The SmackDown Women's. Now we'll do the next one because I think that match is going to be last. For the WWE Championship, Bobby Lashley defends the title against Drew McIntyre. And I'll be honest with you guys. You know me. You've known me a long time. I'm a big fan of power matches. I'm actually looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to seeing these two guys drop bombs. As like Dusty said, Nate earlier, a little clubberin. We're gonna see some clubberin going on. That's the. I'm looking forward to actually this match. I think this match is gonna be a lot of fun, Steve. And I think Drew. And I think Drew wins the title back.
I think Drew wins the title back. What I'm hoping happens is what you're saying. I'm hoping it's like a 15 minute banger where they just club the shit out of each other. What I'm worried about is that it's going to be a Brock Lesnar or Goldberg type main event that Lashley's going to just keep spearing him and McIntyre's going to keep Claymore kicking him. And it's going to be over in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not the case because you don't have a Brock in there. You don't have a Goldberg in there. That's limited, but there have been so many of those big time heavyweight championship matches that have turned out like that. I'm hoping this isn't it. It doesn't need to be. So my hope is that it is just a big hoss match and it's not like slap on the Fool Nelson for a minute. Oh, he got into it again and he broke it again. Right. Oh, four Claymore kicks. Like I really hope it's not that.
Right. Yeah. Nate, what do you think?
Yeah, they're giving some time. This could be really good. I do think Drew will win, even though I almost feel like they worked themselves into a corner. Like, I think Lashley is going to drop the belt too soon. If they wanted to do this, then he should have beaten Miz probably 2 months ago. So we would have a little bit more time with Lashley as the champion, and you could build him up more, because it feels like this is coming too soon on the heels of them breaking up the Hurt Business, which is something I think they should have held off on. You know, there was no reason to kick Shelton and Cedric out that
literally
soon.
Literally no reason.
The only way that makes sense is if this is some type of MVP master plan, this double blindfolded gambit. Steve, and we get the Hurt Business reforming at WrestleMania, and then Drew overcomes it. But I do think Drew wins and gets the WrestleMania moment that he was supposed to have last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree too. I agree with you, Steve. I'm worried that this is going to be a 5-minute Claymore, you know, move for move thing. That does worry me. I'm not going to lie. But I don't think that's going to happen. Because you're talking about two guys that are young and still can wrestle. We're not talking about two guys in their 50s that have nothing, you know, that can't do anything else. So, and in our last match, which I think is going to be the main event of night one, for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Sasha Banks defends against our Royal Rumble winner, the lovely Bianca Belair. This match could go either way, not for who wins, because I like Bianca, but I think I'm a little worried because Sasha sometimes struggles with larger opponents. And I used to say all the time during that epic 2016 feud she had with Charlotte that, because let's be honest, Sasha's not small. She's not big. She's very, you know, she's you know, smaller frame. And I was always worried she was going to pull off some ridiculous move and kill herself. I'm a little worried that this match is going to be a little clunky. And I wish, and that's not fair to Bianca. So I hope that this match can go smoothly and we get, you know, some good back and forth. I don't think it's going to be very long, but I do think Bianca wins the title, Nate.
Yeah, I think Bianca's going to win. I think the match will be good, Scotty. The bigger issue for me is not so much will Sasha be able to hold up her end. It's that the writers completely dropped the ball on the build to this. Like, the whole reluctant tag partner deal, you know, working Reginald in for a few weeks. Like, I think they knew where they wanted to get to, Steve, but they didn't know how the hell to get there. And so what should be this big crowning moment for Bianca is going to fall a little bit flat, I think, particularly if it is the main event, because it could have been so much more. You know, Sasha, quote unquote, has only been a heel since Fastlane. And even then, like, I think this is what we should have been building to. Like, even, and here's the thing, maybe they rushed it. Maybe the Carmella feud shouldn't have been a thing. Maybe they needed to spend more time establishing who Sasha is so that by the time we get to the Rumble and Bianca winning, then we have a credible foil for Bianca. Because right now I don't think that's not what the story's told us so far, Steve. It's going to be a good match, but the journey hasn't been optimal, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I'm going to go one different than you guys. I think Sasha's going to win. They did announce, I believe today, or maybe after Raw, that it's actually Lashley McIntyre is going to be the main event. So that's why I think Sasha's going to win. And also because I think that sometimes, I don't know if it's us that forgets this or if they're not remembering it, but Sasha Banks is going to be a face when she comes out. Again, this is a big star. She, like, they just kind of quick, like, oh, yeah, you're a heel now, even though you've been a face the last however long. And she's a star. Like, she's a huge star. Like, she's, in my opinion, she's one of the biggest bank, no pun intended, jeez, bankable stars in the company. And she's going to come out with a big, she always does it, Mania comes out with, you know, a big entrance. And there, again, are going to be crowds there for the first time who are going to be excited to cheer for something. And as we went over, there's not much to cheer about. So I think she's going to be hugely over. So it's going to be And I think Bianca, either one of these can play either the face or the heel, but I honestly think that it's going to be Sasha winning. I also don't think that someone like Bianca, who they just brought up and just had, you know, win the Rumble, I don't think they're going to move this quick with her. I upset Scott.
you stunned him into silence.
No, yeah. I forgot.
I'll be happy if Bianca wins.
No, I didn't want to chew my ice. No, I had it on mute. Sorry. Well, here's the thing. We've got two women's title matches with two challengers that I don't want to say need to win. Maybe Bianca is in the position that the other one that's wrestling the next night had last year.
Mm-hmm.
But last year was different because we had COVID.
Right.
We'll get to her in a minute. I like Bianca to win. However, I think she can. I think she can digest a loss comfortably.
Yeah.
I think we're okay with that. Because one thing we have to remember. Oh, sorry, Nate. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think part of what Steve is alluding to with the fact that it feels a little quick with Bianca is because they haven't told the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if you spent the months since the Rumble telling the story, then we're ready to arrive at the destination. But that's not what they wanted to do. Like, even the thing where for a couple of weeks they're being all cute, like, who's she going to pick? And we knew she was going to pick Sasha. Like, that's the match on paper that made the most sense. But we had to play cute for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And then they're a tag team. And then they're feuding. And it just feels like they try to be a little too clever with the story when sometimes there's a reason why the formula works, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like you can throw wrinkles into the formula, but it's like they tried to give us New Coke and nobody was here for New Coke.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I think Bianca will win, but if she doesn't, I think she can. Because we do have a Money in the Bank.
She'll be fine.
So, all right. All right. So after that hot slog of night one, wow, that card is fucking terrible. Wow, that card's awful. It's really not good. All right, let's go to Sunday night, which thankfully, Nate, when we're on Chain Reaction, will be fresher in our minds. We begin with your girl and her partner, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler, defending the women's tag team titles against somebody. We all picked – oh, well, let's see. Steve and I picked – Lana and Naomi. Nate's pick were expunging. And all right. If I have to watch this fucking team twice, Nate, can I at least have them squashed? Can I at least have Natalya get sat on or just beaten into submission?
You're gonna get a 20-minute classic, Scott. With
catch as catch can.
Yes, 15 minutes of technical wrestling with Natalya and Shayna, and then 5 minutes of just Samoan clubbering with Tamina and Nia, and it's gonna be a Matt classic. 20 minutes minimum.
Minimum. Oh, you had to add the minimum at the end. Oh God, kill me.
Here's where I disagree with that. I think it's actually going to be Nia and Tamina doing the ground pound.
Oh God!
And don't forget Reginald. Like Reginald's got to get his high spot in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. I think if Lana and Naomi do win, I like them to win the titles. I think it'd be a huge upset. I think any of the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Nia and Shayna win.
Yeah.
But I think Lana and Naomi win if they're the ones, Nate.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if Lana and Naomi win, honestly, the only reason other than, you know, kind of what you guys have outlined earlier is because they want to do a callback to the hole. And we'll get Nia's hole at WrestleMania. That's how Vince McMahon thinks.
And then there'll be a holy shit chant.
Yep. Holy shit. Holy shit. All right. for the United States Championship, Riddle, complete with his graphics birds. Is that what I think that's what I think that's what Vince thinks happens when you're okay. Yeah, Riddle
is weed.
Yeah, that's the weed birds. It's like the Partridge Family. Riddle defends the United States title against Sheamus. I think this could be a fun match. Two different styles. I think Riddle retains, Steve. I think Vince loves him right now because he's fucking nuts.
Yeah. I could go 50-50 on this one, which I like. I can see either way. Like, Sheamus has gotten a nice deserved push, I think, in his match with his matches with Drew, and I could see them rewarding him with this belt, which really isn't a reward. I mean, let's be honest, but this character with Riddle is, it's like Vince saw Cheech and Chong like 30 years ago. And that's what he think. Oh, Riddle likes a pot.
Yeah.
And Riddle, to his credit, just like, all right, you want me to be a goofy idiot riding around on a scooter and talking to the bird on my belt? Great. Let's do it.
Oh my God.
Do you know how outlandish your character has to be to make Rob Van Dam's portrayal of a pothead look nuanced?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Vince really needs to talk to Jennifer Smith and Vanessa Shark. Check out Hot Tokes on the Jenny position. He needs to talk to actual weed smokers, because this Riddle character, like, the character is going to end up killing the momentum, because once the bell rings, Riddle's been great. Mm-hmm. And I was never somebody that was that high on Riddle on the indies and even in NXT, Steve, but like, his in-ring work has been really good. The character is just horrible. Like, it's again, that seventh grade humor that you're talking about. A seven-year-old humor that you're talking about. But Sheamus has been putting in some good matches. But I do think, like, you don't invest in fancy animated graphics and then have the guy drop the belt, Steve. That's not how wrestling economics work.
Riddle's married? Wow,
yeah.
I didn't know that at all. Of all people. okay. All right, so Riddle, I think, retains too.
I hope he has some sort of Evil Knievel entrance. That's my pick. My pick is that there's going to be some weird Evil Knievel entrance for Riddle.
I think he's going to swing off the pirate ship. That's what I think.
Yar.
In a match we've seen many times, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn with a guy that I've never heard of. Who the fuck's Logan Paul? What is going on in this world? Logan Paul is an American YouTuber. That's a fucking job.
He's one of the him and his brother Jake, who's now a boxer.
What the fuck?
Yeah, don't worry about it, Scott. Just it's okay. Let it pass you by. You don't want it. You don't want to know about it.
Yes. Neither one of them are the most upstanding citizens, and I can't remember, is it Logan or Jake? One of them knocked out Nate Robinson.
Yeah, and then one of them went to Japan.
Yes,
and went to the area where there was a lot of suicides and laughed at the body they found.
But mainstream celebrity.
Okay. I think it was Jake, because Jake's the one that's the fighter. So I think Jake rests. Jake was supposed to fight Mayweather a couple months ago.
Yeah, this and the sad thing about this, Scotty, is this match doesn't need that. Like, there's a story you can tell just with Owens and Zayn. Like you said, they've got this long history. You could tap into that, but we've got to throw this YouTube guy on here. So I think
that's an accident, though. That was like that just kind of happened over Twitter, and then they just went with it because they realized that Logan Paul has a lot of followers. I'm serious. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
This is I think Owens wins, and we get a stunner to Logan. Roll credits.
I almost wanted Sami Zayn to win, but I think he's going to get killed. And so does this Logan Paul person. All right. Let's move on. No,
it is Logan who was in Japan who showed a dead body on his YouTube page.
That's classy. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird because I think, you know, again, not to get into politics, but I feel like if anybody would have an issue with that guy, it would be Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let's move on to something better.
Bad Bunny, he is not.
Yeah, Bad Bunny, he is not. And we go from bad bunnies to bad YouTubers to Nigerian drum fights. Biggie.
I thought you said night two was going to be better, Scotty.
Yeah, I know. Biggie will defend the Intercontinental Championship against Apollo Crews.
You know,
why did Apollo Crews steal Kofi Kingston's Kofi Kingston's 2008 accent?
I saw someone. I think they tried to explain what this match was. In an interview after Raw, and I understood it less after they tried to explain it to me.
I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing here. I okay. Does he hit him with the drum? Does he hit him with the drum sticks?
Is it just a street fight? If it is,
yeah, I think fight, yeah.
Then why?
It's a street fight. But the blow hit again, WWE logic, the sound of the blows will be so forceful, Scott, that they will sound like someone is beating a Nigerian drum.
Oh, good God. But you're right, Nate.
Does that mean that they're actually going to have a sound effect?
Oh,
we're going to pipe in Nigerian drum sounds.
Yeah. Will there be a Nigerian drum that someone's going to get thrown into? Like you just like pretend like this is one of those things that they should just say it and then realize when they said it that maybe we shouldn't do this and just pretend that they never said it. And that would be the best decision. It's like, yeah, it's just gonna be a street fight.
This is a match that doesn't help either person here. Like I feel like the feud is new and it's already old. And I had hope the first weeks, Steve, when Apollo, you know, introduced this Nigerian character. Mm-hmm. And then they ruined it the following week. I think it was the very next week, Scott, because at first he was just mm-hmm. talking with his regular accent. And then the second week they had to introduce this put upon Nigerian accent. And it makes the character just seem way too goofy. It doesn't help Apollo. Big E's not going to be elevated here in this match. And so, yeah, like I think Big E will retain just because you can't put the belt on Apollo. Not in this incarnation.
Yeah, if you could all of a sudden put a Nigerian accent on someone 5 years after they debuted with the company without a Nigerian accent, you can retcon a Nigerian drum match in 2 weeks. And just pretend you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh God. Steve, Nate, you sure you want to do this show on I'm actually the more we're doing these matches, the more I actually want Chris Ely on Sunday night. Because I think it would be amazing. All right. Next we have our rematch from, 4 years ago in Orlando, complete with LED cockroaches. But this time it's now non-LED charred skin. The Fiend versus Randy Orton. I'm running out of things to say, and that's just that's unfathomable for me.
Who am I supposed to root for in this match?
It's an excellent question.
Because he was burned? You know, remember the last feud, Orton set fire to Sister Abigail's house. This time, Orton said, fuck it, I'm not missing this time. And just set him on fire. So, yeah, I think the Fiend is the face.
Remember like 6 months ago, Steve Willie, where we were talking about this. it was 6 months into the panorama.
And gotcha. Now I know.
We were talking about this angle, this character, and we were like, wouldn't it be interesting if it turned out Alexa was the mastermind behind all of this?
She's Sister Abigail.
And we've done nothing, or should I say they've done nothing since then to intrigue me. Like, I'm done with all of this. Like, I think all three, like, and this is not to say anything bad about Alexa's performance, because I think she might be the best performer out of the three right now. But I do think all three could be doing something better with their time.
I do like the Fiend, though, as Burnt S'more Fiend.
Oh, God. Fudgy. Yeah, I think Orton wins. I don't even know. Is this supposed to be cinematic, or what the fuck is this supposed to be? I don't even know.
I was wondering that, too. And that was actually something I thought about, that the one issue with having the crowds back is, are we going to lose? Like last year when we had, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of them, but I know a lot of people did like them, the Bray Wyatt and John Cena match, and then the AJ and Undertaker. And I don't fault the people. I get why people liked it. It just wasn't for me, but I did appreciate how unique it was and how they were backed into a corner and they decided to try something new. And I really respected that. And I know I said that last year too. We lose that this year. I don't think they're going to do a cinematic match in front of a crowd. And the last time these two fought in front of a big crowd, do you remember what happened? There were like bugs on the ring.
Yep. Mm-hmm. LED cockroaches.
Yes. And so I'm a little worried about this one.
I am too. Yeah. Not good. All right. Now the Raw Women's Championship, Asuka, our champion, takes on Rhea Ripley. Now, a year ago, Rhea Ripley was in the position that Bianca Belair is in this year. First shot, big stage. Rhea Ripley ate the loss, most likely because she had to go back home because of COVID. She can't afford to lose this one. She has to win this match. Whereas Bianca Belair doesn't have to beat Sasha on Saturday night. Sunday night, Rhea Ripley has to beat Asuka, Nate.
One would think, which is exactly why I'm going with Asuka to retain. I think this is going to be like, and WWE does this from time to time, where they tell a story backwards, and we get the big loss before we backtrack to the big win. And I think that might be what they're going to do with Rhea, which is, it makes no sense. Like, I don't know why they involved Rhea and Asuka in the tag scene. Again, the booking when it comes to the women has been very scattershot, Steve Willie. And so, yeah, like I think Rhea should win, but it would not surprise me if Asuka retained.
I think that Rhea Ripley is going to win, and I know this is kind of counteracting what I said for the first match, but I mean, this match was supposed to be Asuka and Charlotte. They had the wacky tag team partners going for many months. That we even had the really brief wacky tag team partners for 1 week between Asuka and Rhea Ripley, because this whole angle had to be squished down with Charlotte getting COVID and then her, you know, partner leaving. And so, again, going back to the theory of, if your significant other is on the outs, then you're on the outs. Yeah, kind of thrust in this, and I felt that Charlotte was going to beat Asuka, and I feel like they're just, Rhea Ripley is the replacement here. She's going to beat Asuka and then eventually go on to Charlotte if Charlotte does come back, because they have the rematch from my favorite match from last year's Mania.
Yeah, I'm curious what's going to happen post-Mania with her. Her and Andrade in NWA. Love that idea.
They're an idiot if they drive Charlotte away.
Yeah, I agree.
They're so dumb.
Mm-hmm. They are fucking dumb. They are absolutely dumb. And you've got to think that Triple H has got his head in his hands going, what the fuck is his problem? Yeah. Why is he still alive? Why can't I just pull the plug? Why can't he just melt like Robert Patrick in Terminator 2 Judgment Day? Why can't Vince just melt?
Why would someone want to quit after they haven't been allowed to work in 6 months? Why would they be upset and not?
Yeah. Who knows? And finally, to wrap up the weekend, the triple threat match for the Universal Championship. The head of the table, the chief, Roman Reigns, defends against Daniel Bryan and Crypt Keeper Edge. Who I thought looked good, like for all these years that he's been on TV, until he started wrestling. And now he looks really old. I think this match has to end with Daniel Bryan winning the title. So I think Daniel Bryan pins Edge and in front of the big crowd in Tampa becomes Universal Champion. Then in later in April or early May at the next paper, I've been saying this to everybody the last few days. Then whenever the next WWE pay-per-view is, whether it's later this month or early May, we have a rematch and Roman Reigns absolutely obliterates Daniel Bryan in like 4 minutes and takes the belt back. Mm. What do you think, Steve?
I like that scenario. I am very pleased about this main event. I'm very much looking forward to it because there are a lot of scenarios. Like, is Edge just going to be part-time? So, hey, Edge can win and then Daniel Bryan beats him and then Reigns defeats Daniel Bryan. You know, there's all sorts of ways that could go. Does Reigns sneak out a win and then Edge and Bryan have like a grudge match? You know, I honestly, you know, from the beginning, you thought it was a gimme that Edge was going to win. So I don't know exactly why they turned Edge the last minute and inserted Daniel Bryan in. I don't understand that, but they did. So I need to pick someone, I guess. I will pick Edge to win here. And pin Daniel Bryan, like the ultimate opportunist, like Reigns, you know, beats down Bryan somehow and Edge sneaks out with the pin.
Hmm. Okay, Nate?
Interesting. Well, I'm going to continue to muddy the waters here. And I'm going to say Roman retains.
There you go.
I like Scotty's outline a lot, especially with Edge turning heel recently. I think Steve's idea could work, even though I'm more partial to Scotty's. But I think all things being equal, we're going to get our big title change on night one with Drew. And that'll be like the big WrestleMania babyface moment. And then on night two, it'll be Roman keeping his storyline going on SmackDown, sending the crowd home, maybe a little bit disappointed, but you know, you got your big moment on night one and you got Bad Bunny. So what are you complaining for?
Big moment of night one is Bad Bunny. Not and is Bad Bunny. God. All right. So there we are, guys. We've done it. Our WrestleMania weekend preview special is complete. Nice job. Again, everyone have a great weekend. That'll do it for this week's episode of Main Event. Hope you enjoy the preview. We will be back next week. Of course, we always do back-to-back weeks for Mania. And we'll do a little post-mortem and see how the weekend turned out. And if our picks were correct. And if Bad Bunny is now Bad Rabbit, Rascally Wabbit, tricks are for kids. And is night one the worst night of wrestling in the history of the business? And is this WrestleMania the worst in the history of the business? And will the cock regret it? He's Brother Nate. He's Brother Steve. I'm Brother Scott. You've been in the main event. Enjoy the week. Enjoy WrestleMania. And we'll talk to you in 1 week.
Watch all the other wrestling, too.
Hey, Steve Willie.
Hey, Nate Milton.
You know what? Like, it never made sense to me why WrestleMania had a pirate theme, and it clicked for me. And it's not because the show was going to be held at Raymond James, home of the Buccaneers, but it's for a very, very different reason, Steve Willie.
What would that be?
WrestleMania this year is pirate themed because, as we just discussed, 70% of the matches are booty.
What we need to survive.